Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
Get ready for first-class luxury paired with world-class drama when Vanderpump Villa, a new reality show featuring the one and only Lisa Vanderpump, premieres on Hulu. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Roosevelt, a glamorous estate in the breathtaking French countryside. Immerse yourself in the electrifying lives of the elite staff as they seamlessly blend work, life, and play together 24/7. Witness the excitement unfold as they navigate through intense rivalries, romances, and misadventures. In their quest to deliver unforgettable experiences for their guests, the staff must rise to the challenge of meeting Lisa's high standards, and not everyone has what it takes to shine. Watch new episodes of Vanderpump Villa every Monday, now on Hulu. In this week's podcast, we had the pleasure of interviewing Jana Kramer. We have been following her on Instagram forever and loving the stories that she tells with her partner, her husband, through their podcast. She is a woman who is candid about the realities of marriage, fidelity, and motherhood. In this podcast, we asked her things we've always wanted to ask, and she was as open as we could ever imagine. She exceeded expectations through her personality of love and fun, and we just really enjoyed talking to her. We hope that you enjoy everything she has to tell.
We never met in person, have we?
No.
No, we were supposed to meet in person when you guys were supposed to come here.
Yeah.
In May.
Yeah, I just want to drink so bad with you guys. Like, it's kind of like just in my core. Like, I just, every time I look at your page and, you know, I'm just like following you guys, even the drink challenge you guys just did, I'm just like, I really feel like we could be best friends.
Welcome to the new series, Cocktails and Conversation with Kat and Nat.
And we've decided to bring you all of these conversations with people that we like to have, where there's a little bit of wisdom, always hilarity and hilaria. Yes. Some famous, some just cool, some drink, some don't drink, but there's always a conversation. Cheers, join us.
The fun we could have. Are you surviving over there?
I mean, there's so many different levels to even that question, you know? It's like surviving, it's with the COVID, with everything going on with the riots and the, it's just, there's so much happening that it's just, It's hard to stay in the bubble without any of it. Because, I mean, here's the thing. Like, this is, we talked about this on our podcast just the last, like, today, actually. But it's so hard to even know, like, what to say or the right words to say or to, because it's like, I never want to offend anyone. And I have a hard time being a white woman saying things. And it's just been, so that's when I called one of my African-American friends. I'm like, I don't know what to say, you know? And I'm like, I feel bad posting something at my pool or I feel bad doing this. And it's just like, I don't know even what to do right now. So I think, you know, so I don't know how we're surviving. We're good. We're hunkered down in our home and we don't really go anywhere. I'm kind of a homebody anyways. Like, I don't really like to leave my house, but I mean, you girls know, I mean,
What difference in curiosity? What did she say? Because I bet everyone's wondering, what did she say?
About what, how we could support her?
Yeah.
So yeah, so I was like, because I told her, I was like, I kept writing something and then I deleted it a million times because I'm like, someone's going to get offended by if I say this or if I do this. And look, at the end of the day, I'm not too worried about losing followers because I lose at least a couple thousand a day. So I'm like, that's cool. I'm just not their cup of tea. Fine. But with such a sensitive subject, that's where I just don't want to offend, for example, my African-American friend. And so I was like, what do I say? And she, you know, she really explained it well on our podcast. And she said, you know, she's like, I hear a lot of people saying all lives matter. And she said, that's true. All lives do matter. And she goes, but Black lives matter too. And I liked how she said the two part, because it's not discrediting what other people are like, well, what about our lives? And because all lives do matter, but right now and the injustices that, you know, the Black community has faced, like their lives matter too. And I think that's just a really good statement that, you know, might help resonate with other people.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. And, you know, there's so, we've been saying like, there's so many great resources. And, you know, if you are like wondering what you can do, there's places you can donate to help, because fundamentally people, these organizations need funding and a lot of them don't get it. So there's like, if you're like not, if you're feeling like not proactive, not you, but people in the audience, you know, there's books you can read and there's literature everywhere.
Literally right now. Literature everywhere.
Literally, I can't even say it, everywhere. So, I mean, and honestly, you can't go wrong with bringing up the conversation, you know?
Like, yeah, no, for sure.
So thank you for bringing that up, because, you know, this podcast will be evergreen, but I think that, you know, we have a bulk of moms. And you are a huge, our people love you. Mm-hmm. I don't know if they watched you on One Tree Hill or what, where they, is that where like you think the biggest, where moms grew up with you, like our,
yeah,
our group grew up with you. So they're like, they feel like they know you. Do you think that that's what it is?
Yeah, I definitely think, I mean, my ultra core family of fans are One Tree Hill followers. I mean, obviously, you know, some just started from the country music too, but my One Tree Hill, when I play a show, and even when we do like the live shows, it's like, I always call out my One Tree Hillers and they take over the entire audience. Like they're just screaming so loud. So yeah, I'll always thank my Tree Hillers, because they've kind of, you know, I've had so many ups and downs in my career and they've been there through the good and the bad, and they've supported, you know, me through every step of the way and relationships and everything else. So, but
so is right at the beginning or before COVID was like, you can't travel anymore. Weren't you in Ottawa, Quebec?
Yeah.
Beth?
I was, well, okay. So 2 weeks of the movie was supposed to be filming in Ottawa. The third week was supposed to be in Quebec City at the Ice Hotel. So when everything was like going down, and I will straight up say I was the, I guess it's a pest or ignorant to it, but I was like, it's just like the flu. It's no big deal. Like, and I had that mindset and, you know, I'm like, I'm going to Canada, people. Like I still have to work and support my family and I'm doing it. And, you know, I got a lot of hate for that, but it was like within hours, the second we got on the plane, and I should have known something was weird, because rarely do I have travel day, like planes canceled. That day that we woke up, our tickets got canceled. So we had to get a different flight and fly Air Canada. And so when we flew there, it was just, everything was changing by the minute. And, and like the next day I was calling my agents being like, what did I do? I made the biggest mistake ever. I just risked my kids' lives. I risked my husband, who's extremely asthmatic. You know, I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm like, how is production still going? Everything else is being canceled. Every single production is already canceled. And, you know, my agent was just like, look, like you're contractually obligated to do this movie. And, you know, we think it's kind of bad on the producers, you know, outlook that they're not canceling it, but you can't really leave unless, like, they'll probably sue you if you want to leave. She's like, we can, if you feel that unsafe. And I was like, well, no, I don't want to get sued. I'm like, again, this is, I support the family and this is, I have to make money too. But, we ended up filming. So a day after that, we started filming. And that was when the prime minister talked about shutting down the borders. And so I like had a panic attack on set. I was freaking out. And then we filmed one scene. And the second scene, they came in and said, all right, production's canceled. You have to go back to the States. And I was just like 48 hours later, after I packed my entire family, the kids, a month worth, and you know, all their stuff that they have, the kids stuff. Yeah. Like, and I'm the kind of mom where when I go to a hotel or we're traveling somewhere, that second I get there, I unpack all of their stuff. So I had everything unpacked and I had the groceries and I had like, I mean, everything. And then it was just like within 1 hour, we had everything packed back up and we were in a car to cross the border. It was crazy.
Wow.
I remember watching it and I was like, oh my gosh. And wasn't it like super cold at that time too in Canada?
It was freezing. It was so cold. I mean, like so cold. And yeah, it was nuts. And I felt bad, you know, again, you know, knowing that so many people couldn't get back home. And, you know, here's my awesome friend who sent her dad's plane. Like I can't, you know, I felt bad about that, but I was like, I just want to get my kids home because now I felt like the worst mom imaginable that I put my kids through this.
Don't see the contracts and like the legal that, you know, we all know in the industry that happened behind the scenes, you know, and you can't really can't call the people out who are feeding. Like it's this crazy, it's a industry where you often don't own yourself. Someone else does. And you have to kind of show up and do what they do, you know?
Is the plan, the movie is, what's the word?
Postponed.
Well, currently the ice hotel is melted. So as of right now, the movie is officially canceled. I don't know if it'll go back and who knows if they'd even hire me back. I mean, I don't know. Like we'll see. So it's just, it's a bummer. And I was so bummed because Quebec City looked beautiful. I couldn't wait to, Ottawa was really nice too. I didn't get to see anything because everything was shut down, but I was so bummed, but you know.
I have a question for you that's kind of like a lot of people know you, a lot of people listen to your podcast and then, or watch you on Instagram, or maybe they do both, but you're super open on your podcast and less on Instagram in terms of like everything you share. Is that for a reason or is that just too much to write in one page or what do you think, you know, cause a lot of women follow us and I think that in my opinion, your openness and vulnerability is so rare. And I think that vulnerability and openness helps people. Even when the people who are the loudest take you down, it's the people who are the quietest who need it the most. You know what I mean? So what do you think, what is that?
Why I'm more open on the podcast?
Yeah.
It's a good question. Here's probably where I'll say, you know, I feel like I don't, good question. When I'm recording, I still put things in my mind that are authentic to kind of what's going on. So like whether, now is it an everyday thing? No, like not every day. And I'm like, I want to pull my hair out. My kids are annoying me. I hate my husband today. Like, I just don't want that every single day. Because I want to show the different parts of my life too, the good, the bad, the music, the, you know, things I'm loving or using. And, so I think showing a wide range of that, because the majority of my life is happy with my kids. It really is. Like I genuinely love being a mom and I love being with my kids and I genuinely love my husband. You know, do we have really bad fights sometimes and we get down and gritty? Yes. And we share about that on the podcast because we have since talked about it and recovered. And something that we learned like on the podcast was when we shared something too soon and we realized that sharing a wound is okay. Sharing a scar is better than sharing a wound because it's not healed yet. And so we've realized that that's better to wait a little bit and not have it so real time. But I mean, I feel like I keep it as real time as when it comes to like the kids, and me pulling my hair out, but also showing like, you know, I don't want it because, you know, it's just having different levels of it, because if I complain too much, people are going to get upset about that. So I'm like, okay, let me just do what I think is the normal amount of how much my kids are annoying me and how much of this and that and the other. So
did you feel like when you sit and you do the podcast with your husband, it's like therapy? Because I can imagine, like, I would never sit down and talk to my husband for long periods of time without interruption.
No, not only do they sit down and talk, they talk about issues. Like,
their issues.
You have shared, like infidelity. You have shared, like, not just small, like, we got in a fight over the garbage. Like, you share, like, I mean, it's so, I don't know who else is doing it in a way that you guys almost, you recover with the people. And people are, like, it's like they are healing beside you. It's so interesting to watch. And that's why I think they feel so connected to you.
I mean, I really appreciate you saying that. It can be hard to, like, when I do look at certain reviews and it's like, oh, you're always putting your husband through the mud, or it's always about what your husband's doing wrong. It's never good enough for you. And sometimes, like, introspectively, I love the negative comments because I'm like, is it always about me? Like, am I putting my husband through the mud all the time? And I have to go, you know what? I have. And in certain episodes, I listen back and I'm like, you're absolutely right. I was super disrespectful. And, you know, I think and just like owning it and then moving on and doing better. And even with the stuff that we talk about, we know now at the end of the day, we're not going to get 100% approval right, which I strive for every day. And I know it's never going to happen, but even though I still believe maybe one day, but I know that's not going to happen at the end of the day. And for my husband and I, we're going to keep sharing because we know there are certain people that are listening that actually can get something from it. And hey, we don't, like, even with our book, like, we have a book coming out in September called The Good Fight. While we're still editing and reading our book right now, we're like, man, we need to do better at this. Like, we're preaching something that our therapists have taught us, and we are still doing a really crappy job at it. So we need to do better, you know, like, and so I think it's just constantly like just talking about how we are nowhere near. And that's where I'm like, in the book, so many times we say, we are not perfect. We do not have this figured out. This is just what we've learned to get to where we are today, but we still have to do better at the things that we're talking about.
But how do you, because I think a lot of people, we are speaking for the audience, but how do you as a person recover from, you know, like the things that you've shared, like infidelity? How do you push through and build, like,
because I think so many people say, like so many people's thing is, if he were to cheat, I would be out the door.
Is that the same thing?
Okay. And never come back. But I'm always like, well, I mean, there's so much to think about other than just that, you know, you've been like betrayed that, you know, that time. And mm-hmm. There's so much more to the relationship, more to the family and all of that. Like, I think that the people who say, I'd be out and you'd never see me again.
People judge people in certain ways who don't, and you can't unless you've been there. You know what I mean? Like, you can't judge anyone based on, you know, marriage is a made up institution that we have adapted as we've gone, and decided what's right and what's wrong. But that doesn't mean it's right or wrong for, like, what happens in a marriage isn't definitive for every person, you know?
Sure. And it's hard. And you know, to your point, I said that exact same thing. I was like, if you ever cheat on me, I'm out. Bye. I don't deserve that. Da-na-na-na-na-na-na. Like I said, all of it. When I found out, I had a 4-month-old little girl. And I was just like, wait a minute. Like, my gut was like, leave. But I'm like, I have a 4-month-old little girl. I don't want to do this by myself. I don't want to break our family apart. I don't want, because of what he did, to now mess up what I know that, like, we've worked for and we strive for. And my little girl, like, I was like, I at least have to try for her. And I get the women, like the women that I leave, that's just as hard as staying, just as hard.
Yeah.
I get that. But I know what I had to do for myself to know that I knew in that moment I wasn't ready to walk away because I had to fight for my kids. And through that, it's been freaking hell. It's been hard. But I feel like the silver lining is that now we're in a place where, you know, we we know certain boundaries, and you know, there are certain times it's like some, there's this lady that I talked to on my DMs, and she's like, you know, how much is like, when is it enough? And I'm like, you'll know, like, you'll know when you get to the breaking point. And it's funny, like Michael and I, it's not funny, but like, we've had conversations where I was like, your infidelity isn't going to be the reason that we end up, if we ever get divorced, it'll be about maybe how our communication barrier is bad. It's not going to actually be about the affair itself. And so that's the pieces that like we're now trying to work on. It's like, it's yes, the affair piece is always going to be there, but now it's so much more about how we can communicate better and how we can be in a relationship together and how we can respect each other, because I haven't done it perfectly. He hasn't done it perfectly. And it's just no matter if there's affair or alcohol or sex, like my husband's sex addiction, like it is just, it's just hard work. It's hard to live with someone, especially during 24/7. And like, it's just hard. And a family and kids and like the stresses, it's just so hard.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why United Healthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role. Like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah. That plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
For people that are listening, and you just said my husband's sex addiction, if they haven't listened to your podcast, they don't know that. Excuse me? Could you give a little background on that?
Yeah. I mean, so, it's not as, so sex addiction is, it can be a porn addiction. It can be, it's all wrapped into a sex essay, sex addiction. And so, yeah, he got diagnosed 4 years ago. And a lot of people will say it's just an excuse for a man to be a man. And I disagree. And I just would ask people to do their research to learn more about it. It's not as socially acceptable as alcoholism. But, you know, it's like when an alcoholic walks into a bar, it's probably not the best place for them to be. Same with a sex addict who maybe walks into, or that's where my husband ran to. My husband didn't go to a drink. He ran to validation of other women.
Coping, right?
Yeah. And that's what we all do. We cope and some turn into an addiction.
They're going to want to know, how do you keep yourself like feeling, like validated as like, how do you keep you feeling good every day about yourself? Because I think a lot of us, what you're talking about is, so that's your symptom in your relationship that causes strife, right? For some people, it's they're workaholics, their husbands or their husbands are, you know, absent and they don't communicate with their spouses, but they'll go hang out with their buddies and have the best time, right? Everyone's got symptoms in their relationships that cause problems. Mm-hmm. So, and then they beat themselves up because they feel like they're not doing enough. So how do you get, like, how do you stay confident? Because.
So for the first 2 years, I was the most insecure. I would put on the biggest padded bras and push my boobs up to, and I'm very small beat, like super small, but I would get those big ass bras, push them up. And I would intentionally be like, hey, like, look at me. Do you like me? Do you want me? Because in my mind, I'm like, well, he clearly slept with other people because I'm not pretty enough, or I don't have big enough boobs, or my ass isn't big enough, or maybe I didn't give him enough sex, or, you know, all the things in my head that I made up. So I started to morph into this other fucking person. And it was, sorry, I didn't mean to swear.
Oh, no,
we can swear on your podcast? Okay, we can't swear on mine, so.
Oh, God, we talk like
everything over. When we talk about sex, rollerblades, and car, like, it's crazy over here. There's no everything. Okay. Don't you worry.
Okay. Yeah, so I was miserable, and it made him uncomfortable because he's like, that's not what I, he's like, it had nothing to do with you. And it took me 2 years to really believe that. And, you know, it's so nice to not wear those padded bras because they hurt and I didn't like them. And it's just, but it just takes time to realize that whatever your husband or your wife is doing, it's not about you. It's about their own traumas and childhood wounds and whatever else that they are going through. And personally, I just don't believe it's, and I know now it had nothing to do, he didn't cheat because I didn't look a certain way. And now I think just like realizing that has been very freeing for both of us, because I don't have to feel like I have to be something that I'm not, because I am who I am. And, you know, but granted, there's things inside of the relationship. Like, I was awful to him when he came back from rehab. The things that I said to him, how I shamed him. And granted, was I right to say those things? Yes, but no. Like, I was angry, but at the same time, you can't shame someone for the rest of their lives.
How long was rehab?
He was gone for 70 days.
Wow. And does he always have to fight the fight? Like, it's not, it's like not ever gone. He's got to continuously work on his rehabilitation.
He does a meeting every week. Now they're doing Zoom meetings because of everything. So he, and he has a sponsor and he does the 12 step, but I also have my recovery work I have to do too. Like, I have to see it, you know, I see a therapist, we see a therapist together. Like, wow. I have to do just as much work as he has to do because I get triggered all the time. Like, just even today, I was like, hey, do you mind just checking in on the Life 360? And he's like, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry you're triggered. But in the past, he'd be like, of course you're fucking triggered. There you, I can't fucking go anywhere without you like thinking I'm sleeping with. And I'm just like, that was the past. And we would just like fight. But until you can be like empathetic and have empathy for each other, that was like the key to our marriage working. And that was honestly, that just happened within the last year that he found that empathy. It took a long time.
And it I mean, you guys, you know, so many people just walk away from marriages. So, you know, it seems like so easily, like, you guys have had to work so hard for it, which means you must really want this commitment to be together. And it honestly, it genuinely, like, when I'm watching you guys, it seems like you have a friendship, like you really enjoy each other's company as friends. Would you say that?
Absolutely. I mean, I love my husband. We have fun together. We, you know, as a family, like, oh my God, our family time is my favorite time. Like, we're just like fun with the kids. He's an amazing dad. Like, he's an incredible dad.
We have
game nights, and it's just like, I enjoy being around him. Now, is he a total asshole in fights and mean? Sure, but guess what? I can be nasty too. And so I think we both, there's so much love there. We're just learning how to fight better and communicate better. And that's just, you know, that's just, we're just going to be forever on that journey to keep doing better. But I also know, like, the grass isn't greener somewhere else. There's someone's going to have their issues. But in my mind, I'm always just like, oh, I'll just leave. And this, I'm like, there's going to someone, the next person's going to have issues. They might have shiny for like a month, and then it's going to go straight back to just shit.
But guess what? You're like almost ahead of the game, because a lot of people don't know why their relationship, they don't know what they're missing. And like, they sit there, and I think we hear so many women trying to work twice as hard as their spouses to make the relationship right. And you're constantly filling an empty hole, and you think it's something wrong with you. And inevitably you begin to like take away at your own self-esteem because it keeps failing. You know what I mean? And I think that the fact that you guys are like repairing and conversing and working on yourselves. You know, when we went to Oprah, she was like, the thing that struck me was like, I've never set foot in a therapist's office, but she's like, but I talk to people all day long and I work through what they're doing. So don't discount the way you guys are talking is actually helping people work through their own ways who might not have access to therapy or who might not be able to afford it, you know? So with your conversations, you guys are really helping build bridges because you're showing something that nobody else shows in a way of the raw and the real. And I think it should be applauded, not taken down. And I think we all can take back moments in our marriage where we're like, shit, you know, that was wrong and I shouldn't have done that. But at the end of the day, we're all people, you know?
Are you saying that you guys fight too? Like marriages, other marriages have fights?
I was actually just saying, I know like a lot, when you say you guys both have that passionate way of like fighting like that, mm-hmm. I would say there are always issues in every marriage. And of course we have our own way with our husbands. We're not passionate fighters with our husbands.
I'm an ex-social worker, Jana, and my husband, I'm like this. I can tell you're feeling upset right now, but this is something you need to work through. Like I lay it on. He's like, fuck, like he does not like it, but it's almost worse because I will literally reflect, validate, and then not blame. He's like, fuck, you know what I mean? Because you almost want to get into it sometimes.
Wow, but yeah, that's amazing.
I mean, not
for him. He's an ex-hockey player and he's a fighter and he probably wants to get in there and get in. She's like, let's talk about this. I understand the way you're feeling. How about
I tell him that we have like a coming of, what do I say? Like a moment where I'm like, oh, he needs to talk.
Quarterly, she's like, he needed to sit down, talk.
Where, you know, I'm like, let's reflect. And then I also make him tell me 5 things he loves about me. Like, I know my love language, and I think a lot of people don't think about what they want, and then they get mad at their spouse for not giving them what they need, but they have never realized what they want. And they're just like, he's an asshole. And he's like, I didn't know you wanted that. I would have just gotten you flowers weekly if you wanted that, you know?
1,000%. I know we've talked about love languages too. And it's so interesting because so many times I'm like, why doesn't he like this? Like, oh, because it's not his love language. But if I clean out his car or I clean out my wrapper that I put in his car, he's like, oh my God, she loves me.
And I'm like, that's my husband's love language. Her husband like needs to be touched 24/7. And she's like, I don't like to be touched. And he's like, come on, just hug me. I'm like, space, like his lips, I always say to him, space.
He would sit on her if he could. Like one time, he's like, you know, when we were getting into the conversation, he's like, you know, I find it really like hurtful when you laugh and you say that space thing, because he's like, it's like you never want to be too close. And I'm like, come on, it's funny. And I mean it. I need space.
Oh God, I love this.
Oh yeah.
Do you guys miss being out in the road?
Do you? I mean, you went with him, which is crazy, but you know,
I do miss going on the road without him. Yes, I do.
It was really, I don't know about you, but I feel like we used to have so much fun.
We used to laugh so much.
All day.
God, I loved it. You just like the hotel, from the airplane ride that you guys would, you know, story to the hotel, like sleeping in the bed, like, you know, and then the Sphinx in the mirror. Like, I miss it. I need it.
Oh my God.
And the whole tour family and the strippers. I mean, it's just not there anymore.
We need girl time. And like, that's what, like, you know, you're the girl time that like, that fix that we all need. And it's like, it's even just the other day, I was like, I just want a slumber party with my girls, like something to get away.
Motherhood was not meant to be 24/7 for children who are growing up into grown-ups. And I mean, we can't give them all that we need. I believe babies and like toddlers, you can give them everything you need. But the teens, like the tweens and the 8-year-olds, you can't, as a mother, you cannot give them everything they need, because that's not natural for them to be in their house without, you know, they want to grow up. And we're like, we get a bit nervous that, you know, we're stifling their independence a bit, and like that they're getting like these launching years are kind of like being smothered, and they're becoming more independent on us. And they're
dependent on us.
I mean, more dependent, like they didn't be like this. And I think every mom's feeling like a bad mom. And I'm like, guys, it's not meant to be. You're not supposed to have no help. You're not supposed to have no one to talk to or to be around or no.
I miss missing my kids. I miss missing my husband. Like I miss that part too. Like to come back. I'm always a better mom when I come back, you know?
Yeah.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
And the mental load of all day and then of the world and then of, right? It's just like, you're just like, and then if I have to make another meal, I said to Nat, I think I'm over. I'm done maybe eating for life. Like, I don't even know if I need food.
I feel the same way. And then I'm like, oh, okay, now what am I going to eat next?
Yeah. But I wish I could just say I'm done with that, because cooking is like,
are you the cook in the house?
No, I was just going to say, I told my husband this. I was like, Mike, because we got into like a thing earlier this year or like right before the new year. And I was like, if we would have gotten divorced, I would have 1000% taken you back because of COVID, because I don't cook at all. Like, he is the
cook. A meal.
I don't cook at all. I'm not a cook. I don't like cooking. Like, the only thing I can cook are like those home chef meals, because it comes with exactly what to do, or like frozen pizza.
How did you not get that job? Because
if you just never do it, then it's like me and the laundry.
Does he like cooking?
He loves it.
Yeah.
So he loves it. And he's a great cook. Like, tonight, like, he's, you know, every night. I mean, last night we did frozen pizza, because it's like mom's night, frozen pizza. Like, just like, not a cook.
What's your relationship like with your mom?
Oh, my mom's my best friend. I love her. Yeah. She was a young mom, and we were best friends. And I hope that same thing, you know, I had not a disagreement. Well, no, it was a pretty much disagreement with someone on our podcast. He said that you shouldn't be your kid's friends. And I said, you know, you're a parent can be a friend, but to me, I just disagree. I feel like I can be a parent and a friend, but know the limits. Like, for example, my mom. Now, I'm not condoning underage drinking, so like, let's start there. But like, I've never been drunk, because I believe my mom said, "Do you want to try this? Do you want some?" And I was like, "No, actually, like, or like, I think I tried a sip of the wine cooler, and I'm like, okay, cool." And then I never picked up another drink until I was like later in my like 20s. So like, I think having that open communication and talking to your kids is like, was something that I want to take from my mom to my kids. So.
Yeah. I think that is absolutely a great theory. And if you could, like, you know, in our podcast, we interview men too. And often we talk about, you know, we all take something from our mom, and there's usually every woman, a lot of women right now go to bed wishing that they could be a different mom, or they could look different or be different. And then we always ask them, would you have changed your mom? And would you have changed your mom?
So this is tough, because, you know, I've done obviously a lot of therapy around like childhood wounds, and like, you know, my dad had an affair on my mom, and, you know, I always blamed my dad for years. And my dad and I had a terrible relationship, and I would date men like 20 years my senior, like 20 years older than me, because I just wanted that love and validation from a father figure. And while I was doing a bunch of therapy in my 20s, I realized a lot of my issues, and it broke my heart, stemmed from my mom staying in an unhealthy, unhappy relationship. And my dad, different from Mike, my dad wasn't willing to fight. My mom stayed in something where she should have left. And so I think I saw that as, I'm not calling my mom weak. I don't want to say that, but I wish she would have left my dad before I saw other things in my adolescence. I would have liked them to have divorced before I was 13.
Okay.
So you have a goal of what not to do, which is
here's the thing. I will say, like, in the second we, you know, I understand fighting in front of your kids, and we do a really good job of letting them see resolution and not letting it get heated. Like, other, if it's going to get heated, we're like, let's take it to the room or when they're asleep or whatever. But I don't want my kids to ever see weakness in the fact of feeling stuck, or because, you know, maybe my mom couldn't afford to move us somewhere, or whatever it is. Like, I want Jolie to not see that. So
that's interesting.
I mean, that's something you carried with you, which is, I mean, that's so interesting that women will now reflect on that and be like, huh, you know, because I think we all think about what we want our kids to take with them, and how we make them feel is what we all want them to take with them, right? Yeah. What they felt at the end of the day.
Mm-hmm.
You are like,
you're so interesting and beautiful. And
I love you.
Where can everyone find you? And I mean, I will link your podcast and we'll link, but if they don't, if they're listening, where can they find you if they're listening on Apple?
So Wind Down podcast. And then, if you go to janandmike.com, you can pre-order The Good Fight. Pre-order is huge for the first week. So,
When's it coming out?
September 22nd.
The Good Fight.
Is that pre-sale too, or is pre-sale on right now?
Pre-sale's on right now, and it's really important for pre-sales, just because of, you know, that's counts for the first week. So, yeah.
Girl.
Love to.
Yeah, we do it. Okay, yeah. I'm going to order it right now. And where can they get that? Everywhere?
Yeah, and anywhere. But if you Amazon, Barnes & Noble, like, yeah, just janandmike.com, and they'll have all the info to where to get it. So.
Tell them to go to the bookstore, because it counts as even higher.
Well, if you go to, so Parnassus, if you go to janandmike.com and you click on Parnassus, it's a local bookstore here in Nashville. And if you buy it from them, we're doing personalized copies.
Well, if you ever have like an early copy out there that you need a review about, we'd like to get our hands on it as soon as possible. Okay. I don't want to wait till September.
No, don't worry. You guys are going to get an advanced copy. So. Okay.
Thank you for being thank you for being so open.
Honestly, and honest.
It's like I haven't talked to you on anything. I think that people can just learn so much from the way you speak about topics, because it's like you're raw, but you're not so raw that it feels like you're hurting. It's like
it doesn't feel like you're falling apart.
Yeah.
It's like you know what? You've learned to talk about your scars and not your wounds.
Mm-hmm. I love you guys so much. I do. Girl. I just like cannot wait to have a drink.
We're coming. And yeah, we can't wait either when this border opens up.
We're coming for you.
Okay. Love you, friends, so much.
Meet your hot husband too.
Anything you need.
Really hot. I think so too.
He is hot.
She loves.
I think he is hot too.
Amber, who really loves him.
She's like, yeah.
He's a hot guy. He's got a deep voice, and he seems like such a good dad. What's wrong? You guys are such a hot couple. Yeah.
He's a good
I love you, by the way. We'll chat soon. And
okay. Love you.
Nashville, I'm texting you.
All right. Love you, friend. Bye. Bye, guys.
Thank you.